We will be in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We appreciate all of our visitors this morning. Thank you for coming our way on this rainy morning. And since the shower doesn't start until 12:30, I've been given permission by Debbie to go till about 12:15. So, yeah, well, that's true. The shower has started, hasn't it? Yes. Mark chapter 10. In this chapter, we are in the last days of Jesus' life. Jesus has been preaching and teaching, healing for 3 years now, a little over 3 years. And he has gone over into the region of Judea. As a matter of fact, in the first verse of the 10th chapter, it says, "Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again, and as he was accustomed, he taught them again." And so he goes on to talk to them about the Word. He goes on to talk to them about God's will for them. This is the story of where he later on in this chapter meets the rich young ruler and talks to the rich young ruler. Several other things are going on in this particular chapter. And then at this point, he decides that he's taught long enough in this area, and he decides it's time to go to Jerusalem. And of course, Passover is coming, and he has to go to Jerusalem. And so he crosses over the Jordan toward Jerusalem. And I think it's very interesting. You know, today, symbolically speaking, when you cross over the Jordan, that's euphemism for death, isn't it? And here's Jesus on the other side of the Jordan, and he crosses over Jordan, headed toward Jerusalem. That's just a coincidence, or maybe it's not a coincidence. Don't know for sure. But it is interesting that that happens. And as he goes along the road, he has to pass through a town that we've heard of before, a town called Jericho. And in the town of Jericho, as he's going along, before he gets to that town, there is a little incident that happens, and this is in the 46th verse of this chapter. "Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, before we go on, according to a couple of the sources that I read, there are actually two Jerichos. There were two Jerichos at this particular time. Apologetics Press was talking about this. And that may show the differences in the Luke account and in the Mark account. In Mark, he is leaving the city of Jericho, and Luke is before he gets to Jericho. And what happened is there's a little settlement on the original side of Jericho, and then there's another settlement about 2 miles down the road. Now, you would understand the city's been thrown down by the Lord. You may not want to settle there. Some people did, though. But other people started a new town of Jericho just a couple of miles away. So technically, if he went from the first Jericho to the second Jericho, he would have gone out of one and into the other. And so that may account for the two, for the discrepancy there. But today, I don't want to talk about towns. Today, I want to talk about another person from the Bible. We started People of the Bible study last week with Aaron, and I really appreciate the comments that I had, and also I appreciate Mary Lynn gave me a suggestion to study Jonathan at some point, and I told her it's farther down the alphabet, so we'll have to go on for a little while. But if you have a suggestion, a character that you'd like for me to talk about, then please feel free to suggest that. I would love to have that. This morning we're going to talk about blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, that's how we usually refer to him, isn't it? Blind Bartimaeus. His actual name was Bartimaeus, as it tells us in this passage in Mark. He was the son of Timaeus was his father's name. We don't know anything about him except that he was the son of Timaeus, except that he was probably from that region, and also that he was blind. We know that he was blind. Now, back then, there were no government safety nets that helped the blind or anyone who had a disability. There were no programs that the Roman government set up so that people who had disabilities would be taken care of. There was no Judean Federation for the Blind, like there is an American Federation for the Blind now. He was on his own, and probably that's why he became a beggar. We don't know how long he had been blind, and we don't know why he was blind. All we know is that he was reduced to seeking handouts so that he could live. We see people like that all the time in our lives, don't we? We pass them all the time. I've passed a lot of people who've been begging for a number of years. Last year when we were at the Georgia Tech game, Angie and I went to the game. When we were crossing the bridge over the downtown connector, I saw two people who were begging there. Perfect place to do it, you know. You're going to do it, you go where the crowd is. And so there was one person here, and a little farther down the bridge there was another person. And I don't know exactly why they were begging, what the thing was, but I do know that they were there. I remember that a preacher named Marvin Phillips told this story one time about a man who was in a park. It was a beautiful spring day, not like today, but it was a beautiful spring day. And as he was in the park, he noticed that there was a beggar, and everybody who went past that beggar stopped and gave him money. And that doesn't happen all the time, does it? So he couldn't figure out why in the world that was going on. So finally what he did was he kind of snuck over there and got close to the beggar, and he noticed that the beggar was just sitting there holding a sign. The sign said, "It is springtime, and I am blind." That would touch your heart, wouldn't it? That would make you want to give that person some money. Many times when we pass by these folks who are begging, we may give them a few dollars, we may give them a little bit of change, but a lot of times we just pass them by because we are wary sometimes of professional beggars, and we know we've seen them, don't we? I've seen them plenty of times, you've seen them plenty of times, and we're a little wary of those professional beggars. But then later on, we start thinking about it and saying, you know, I should have just given him something. I should have just given her something. It wouldn't have hurt me to have done that. We feel guilty about it, don't we? But I want you to notice something about this story. Jesus and the multitudes passed by the beggar. They did not stop. Jesus did not stop for this beggar. He just walked on by down the road toward Jerusalem. Here's the thing to think about. Sometimes we are given opportunities to help other people. But sometimes those people are given opportunities to be helped. And this was one of those times for blind Bartimaeus. In the account in Luke 18, it says that Bartimaeus heard a great multitude. Now you can imagine, you know, how it must have been for him. I'm sure his senses were a little more attuned as far as hearing goes, because he had been blind for you know, a certain amount of time, and I'm sure his hearing had developed a little bit more. And so he would hear these first few footsteps come, and as he had always heard on this road outside of Jericho, a few people are passing, and then suddenly there's a lot of people passing, and more and more and more people are passing. You would think the same thing. What's going on, he asks, and somebody says, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Well, Bartimaeus is not going to let this opportunity go. He's not going to let Jesus pass him by. He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Other people are looking at him and they say, "Shh, shh, shh, you need to be quiet. Don't yell. But he says it all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, there are many more sources out there who will talk about this. I saw several of them when I was studying for the lesson that talk about the faith of Bartimaeus and how the faith of Bartimaeus is what made him do this. That he continued to ask for Jesus to have mercy on him. That it was his persistence that showed his faith. And that is true. His persistence did show his faith. But I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. As a blind beggar, Bartimaeus probably never got very far away from Jericho. He may not have ever left the city of Jericho in his life unless somebody took him someplace. Apparently, Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus. Maybe he'd heard people talking about Jesus' miracles. Maybe he'd heard catches of conversation from other people about Jesus' teaching and how Jesus had, I'm distracted. They're going to get the barbecue. maybe he was thinking about how, or had heard about how Jesus had healed people, or all the words that he had said and how marvelous the words he had said were. In Luke chapter 4, at the beginning of his ministry, he said, "Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, 'What a word this is, for with authority and power Jesus commands the unclean spirits,' and they come out. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region." Now you can imagine that that would have happened. Jesus heals somebody, people are going to hear about it. Jesus teaches in a way that no one else has heard before, and people are going to hear about it. Even if they don't like it, they're going to talk about it. And this word had gotten to Bartimaeus. You can imagine that he had heard all of these great stories about these miracles, and that here was Bartimaeus hoping, "Boy, if Jesus would just come by, if Jesus would just come to this city, maybe he could heal me." But here is an important point to remember about the cry of Bartimaeus. And it's something that you just fly on by if you don't think about it. He said, "Jesus, Son of David." Think about the import of what he said. It is a recognition of his belief that Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecy in 2 Samuel, a promise made to God, by God to David. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Bartimaeus must have known these words, and Bartimaeus believed that this man was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And all of it was because he heard it. He had not seen Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. The first great lesson that we can learn from Bartimaeus is this. You don't have to see to believe. We've all heard that saying, seeing is believing. And we believe that saying sometimes. But you know what? Remember what they said in the Polar Express? I've never watched that movie, but I read the quote. The quote is, seeing is believing, but sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we cannot see. And that is so true. I can tell you a personal experience. Years ago, about in the 90s, about 30 years ago, my sister and her husband bought a house. And when they bought the house, they decided they were going to have a place to put my mom in the basement. My mom actually lived in my sister's basement. They fixed it up first. But anyway, they put her in, they had an apartment for her. And it was a great blessing because my sister was near my mom and so forth. And when my mom got sick that Thursday morning, my sister immediately came downstairs and helped her. She immediately came downstairs to help her and find out what was wrong. And then she called the paramedics. And then, you know, she was with my mom that whole time. And then my mom died a few weeks later, or a few days later. But then later on, she, of course, they kept the apartment. And then later on, a few years ago, my niece and her husband had to come back to Atlanta with their two children. They didn't have a place to live. They ended up living in my sister's downstairs apartment. Four people in that apartment. That's a lot of people packed in there. And you know, you think about they're on top of each other and how horrible that is to think about, but they lived through it. But you know what the amazing thing is? When my sister got the diagnosis that she had cancer in December, guess who was there to take care of her? My niece. That was a blessing from God. There is not one person in my family that does not believe that what happened those 30 years ago to set up that apartment worked today and is continuing to work as my niece is taking care of her. We do not always see what is going to go on, but we need to believe that God is working in our lives. We need to be convinced of the hand of God. The faith of Bartimaeus brings to mind another resident, by the way, of Jericho from a couple of thousand years ago. Remember in Joshua chapter 2 when the spies went into the land of Canaan over the Jordan? And then they holed up in Rahab's house. And they came looking for him and she lied for them. She said, no, they've already gone. They left the city. And later on, she talks to them and she says, you're going to take care of me, right? And they said, yes, we are, but we want you to hang this red cord outside your window. But here's what she said to them. I have heard about what this God has done. I heard about the Red Sea. I heard about the battles that were fought and God was on your side. I heard all these things and I know that he's going to give this city to you. And then she says, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and earth, in heaven above and on earth beneath. She had never seen a miracle. She had only heard about them, but she believed God. Seeing is not always believing. Bartimaeus had reached that same conclusion about Jesus, that Jesus was the Messiah. He may not have understood exactly what it meant that he was the Messiah. He may have been like a lot of other people were back then, expecting an earthly king. But he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He understood that he was more than just another prophet. And that's brought to light later on in verse 51 when he says, after Jesus asking him, what do you want me to do? He says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. That word is important too, Rabboni. The word means Christ, means Messiah. It doesn't mean teacher. It means Christ. It means Messiah. In Luke's version, Luke uses the word Kyrios, which means Lord or Master. Contrast that with the rich young ruler earlier in chapter 10, where he comes to him and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He's just calling him a teacher, a good teacher. There was a depth of understanding to Bartimaeus that is missing in a lot of other people in that time. The faith of Bartimaeus also led him to what is the second great lesson of this story, and that is, be bold. The people tried to shush him. but he called all the louder. Years ago, I worked at a radio station, and there was a lady there in Continuity. That's the place where we do the commercials. And she and I were talking one day. Helene was her name. She was from New York, so she had that New York accent, you know. But Helene and I were talking one day, and as we were talking about something that was going on, I was encouraging her, you need to talk to these people and ask them about this, find out about this. And I said, you know, Helene, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And she said, what? Apparently, they don't have oil and grease up in New York. She had never heard that phrase before, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. But it's true, isn't it? You hear a squeaky wheel, you're going to do something about it. You hear a squeaky door, WD-40, that's the first thing you're reaching for. Or you're telling somebody else to get it for you. There was a song in the 80s called What About Me? Some of y'all remember that song? What About Me? I love that song. Here's the first verse. Well, there's a little boy waiting at the counter of the corner shop. He's been waiting down there, waiting half the day. They never, ever see him from the top. He gets pushed around and knocked to the ground. He gets to his feet and he says, what about me? It isn't fair. I've had enough. Now I want my share. Can't you see? I want to live, but you just take more than you give. This was Bartimaeus. Help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, take pity on me. I can't imagine what it was like for Bartimaeus to live as he did. I can't imagine living blind now. I can't imagine what it must have been like back then to have lived as a blind man. But I can't imagine that he did have hopes and dreams, that he'd heard about this man and he had hopes and dreams. And now here was the one that he had heard about walking right past him. He wasn't going to let him pass by. He wasn't going to let others stop him from talking to Jesus. He was going to be bold. David said something about this in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I don't know if that was a prophetic verse right there or not, but it sure does fit this man, doesn't it? This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. Bartimaeus was only being bold like other people had been bold in the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 2, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. And then in Judges chapter 3 and verse 9, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel. Earlier, one of the disciples had a very good example of this. Peter walks on the water and then the waves come along and he starts sinking. And what does he do? Lord, save me, as he's sinking. Bartimaeus was only doing what the Hebrew writer would say later on. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As God heard the cries of Israel, as Jesus heard the cries of Peter, Jesus heard the cries of Bartimaeus, and he stopped. Can you imagine? Jesus is walking along, and this crowd is following him. You ever done that? You had several people behind you, you know, and you're walking along, and suddenly you stop, and you get bumped into by several people. You can imagine that might have happened to Jesus, but he stops. He stops right where he is, and he says, bring him to me. Mark says when Bartimaeus heard these words that the Savior, that Jesus wanted to hear him, he left his garment and he ran to Jesus. He went to Jesus. He left his garment. When I read that, I think about people that haven't seen someone after a long absence. Y'all watch those videos on YouTube and all where the soldiers have been away for months or years or whatever, and they come home and they videotape the reunion between them and their children or their wife or whatever. And it's amazing when you watch those, but every one of them, if that person has something in their hands, when they see their loved one, what do? They drop it. They don't care about it at all. They run to that person. They throw their arms around them. They hug them. They just leave it behind. And that's what happened to Bartimaeus. He left his garment. He didn't care about that. That was probably what kept him warm at night, but he didn't care what happened to that garment. He had to go to Jesus. By the way, another interesting point here, neither Luke nor Mark say that anyone led him to Jesus. It says he went to Jesus. I don't know. Maybe somebody did. Maybe somebody didn't. Maybe he found him on his own. Maybe Jesus wasn't that far away. I don't know. But all I do know is that Bartimaeus went to Jesus when he needed him. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus says. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight, Bartimaeus answers. And this is the third great lesson from the story of Bartimaeus. Ask for what you want. Ask for what you want from the Lord. Just a side note, back in the 35th and through the 37th verses, James and John came to Jesus and they asked him for something too. Then James and John, the sons of the Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, you can read that several ways, can't you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It depends on, you know, how you feel that day. They said to him, "Grant to us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." Now, Jesus had explained to them what was going to happen. He had just finished explaining to them what was going to happen. "I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die." And he had said that two other times on two other occasions. There's something going to happen to me. I'm going to die. And yet, they wanted to be a part of sitting on his right hand and his left hand. You don't know what you're asking for, guys. If only the disciples had not asked to be sitting on the right hand and the left hand, but had asked for spiritual sight. "You ask and you do not receive," James says, "because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures," that you may spend it for what you want. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed those stories that he'd heard. He was willing to cry out for mercy and for help. And when the question was asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" he did not say, "Lord, be with me. Lord, bless me and my family." It wasn't anything meek that he asked for. He asked for what he wanted: "Messiah, that I may receive my sight." That's something that would help him. Something that would make his life a little bit better. Jesus answered the subject about asking for things in the very next chapter of Mark, where he said, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Does that mean that God is going to give you everything you ask for? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Is that what it means? No. It means that if we put our faith in God, if we put our confidence in God, if we put our hope in God, that is the key. We need to trust that He can deliver what we want if it's within His will. We need to trust His will. We need to trust and have confidence in the path of God. You know, Jesus passed by a lot of beggars, didn't he? He passed by a lot of deaf people and mute people. He passed by a lot of blind people and lame people. He passed by a lot of people who were hurting for whatever reason, but he didn't help them. You ever thought about that? Why did Jesus not help everybody? Why didn't you just, you know, blanket forgiveness, blanket healing, whatever? Why didn't he do that? Well, there are two reasons. Number one, it may have been better for that person to not be healed at that point in their lives. That happens sometimes. We pray and pray and pray and pray, "God, remove this, remove this, remove this." It doesn't necessarily have to be removed sometimes. And sometimes we have to have confidence in God's pathway. And number two, they didn't ask. They didn't ask. They didn't ask Jesus to heal them. We have to ask for what we want. Remember when you were a kid, you know, and your parents would, you would want something and your parents would make you ask for it. And you did that to your kids too. You made them ask you because you knew what they wanted, but you made them ask for it because you wanted to hear them ask for it. And that's what's going on with God. He wants to hear us talk to Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. He addressed this too in Luke chapter 11. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." These are the same lessons that we find in the story of Bartimaeus. You don't have to see to believe. Though he was blind, he believed. He sought the mercy of Jesus. Be bold. He knocked. He knocked on the door of Jesus. Knock, knock, knock. "Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he asked for what he wanted. He asked Jesus for his sight. And what did Jesus do? He healed him, first of all. But when he healed him, he said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Many times when people were healed in the scriptures by Jesus, they went on their way to live their lives. They went on their way rejoicing. The lame man took up his bed and went off. A lot of people did that. They went away. Because of his faith, Bartimaeus did something differently. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus down the road, or on the road. Because of his faith, he followed the Lord. I don't know what happened, but I think that looking at the scriptures, you can kind of surmise that he may have been among the multitude that followed Jesus into Jericho and saw Zacchaeus up in the tree and saw that Jesus was going to be with Zacchaeus that night. He may have followed him into Jerusalem. We don't know. But we do know that he followed Jesus, that when Jesus healed him, he followed him. And we do know that he probably never forgot that once he was blind, but now he could see, and it was Jesus that had done it for him. I used this example before, but a lot of y'all weren't here when I used it, so I'm going to use it again. The Three Stooges are some of the best theologians you'll ever meet. Well, that's odd, you say. There was an episode once where the Three Stooges were going through one of their things, you know. And Curly suddenly screamed, I can't see, I can't see. And Mo looks at him, he says, what's wrong, what's wrong? I got my eyes closed. It's funny, isn't it? How many times do we close our eyes to Jesus and say, I can't see, I can't see? Bartimaeus could not see, but he wanted to see. And he asked the Lord to be able to see. The Savior was passing by. The Savior passes us by every day. All we have to do is ask. And we can see if we'll allow him to touch our lives. If we will let him hear our cry and go to the Savior. This morning, if you've not been to the Savior, you need to go to the Savior. You need to confess his name. You need to repent of your life. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need to follow Jesus. If you have been and you need to open your eyes a little bit again, and you need the prayers of this congregation, we would be happy to do that for you. And we invite you to do that right now while we stand and sing.